But I want to return to a story that we aired for you last night. And this was the class action involving some 330 Navy recruits who have taken on the Navy through a legal action. And the whole idea about this is that they were being offered, almost as an inducement to join the Navy, a promise that they would receive a certificate for certification. In other words, this is a trade qualification, which would mean you could almost be guaranteed of stepping into a job just about anywhere once you'd come out. The real problem was when they were then signed up for 4 years in the Navy, they discovered something altogether different. Now, the lawyer who's taking on that case is Stuart Levitt. We spoke to him last night.
Since we filed this action, and it's got a bit of coverage, I've been contacted by other naval personnel and other army personnel telling me the same thing has been happening to them in different areas. The thing that to realise here is these guys, when they sign up, it's not like in private industry. They specifically don't have any rights under the Fair Work Act. They specifically don't have any rights under the Australian Consumer Law. And they're subject to military discipline for 4 years. So they've really been sucked in.
So Stuart Levitt there, think about that. You've got no rights under the industrial laws of Australia if you join the Navy. You have no rights under consumer law if you join the Navy. Whatever goes, whatever they say goes, even if it means that they might have taken you on under false pretenses in the first place. Well, one man who is a former trainer with the Navy from Sydney is John Henderson, and he's on the line right now. G'day, John. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, Ross. Thanks for having me on.
No problems at all. Just explain your story. What happened when you joined the Navy? Why did you want to join in the first place?
Look, I basically wanted to join because it looked like it was a great opportunity. The way they presented the glossy ads and the inducement of basically a certificate four, it looked very appealing. So
in other words, you join up, you get the free training, you don't have to go out there and pay for a TAFE course or something along those lines. You get paid along the way. Everything seems pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I mean, there's obviously trade-offs because you've got to sacrifice a lot of your personal life. Like, you miss out on weddings, birthdays, funerals. You know, but the reality is you're prepared to give that up based on a promise that the Navy made.
Okay, now when you joined the Navy, did you join it for that qualification or did you join it for the service of joining the Navy in the first place?
Look, I specifically joined for the qualification. I joined for the qualification.
Okay, so when you...
I was
going to say to you, when you stepped up and joined, when you walked in, what did you discover in regards to training? Was training more about the naval aspect of the job and less on the trade aspect of the job?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Basically, the way it came across is it's almost like the Navy had a quota that they had to meet. And they basically shuffled all these guys through under the MT 2010 program without actually having any real direction or plan on how to actually give them the certificate for training. So it was we went in and did the initial recruit school training and initial technical training, which was very, very basic. And then we were kind of left to our own devices, really.
Okay, when you say you were left to your own devices, what actually were you doing? What were you doing day to day?
Well, from my personal perspective, I was... from the initial training, I was posted to a ship for a brief period, and then after that, I was posted to a unit called PSU, or Personnel Support Unit, where I was basically warehoused, and my day consisted of waking up, getting dressed, going down to morning muster, and then sitting down and reading the newspaper or jumping on a computer. That was
the day. How long did that go on for?
That was my day. I experienced that personally for approximately 13 to 14 months.
That would have been debilitating, John. I wouldn't have put up with that. I'd have gone out of a nut.
Well, the issue is, I did apply to discharge on a few occasions, but the issue is that they didn't give it to me.
Go back one step. Did nobody in that 13 months from anywhere inside the Navy come up to you, tap you on the shoulder and say, excuse me, mate, what are you doing? What are you doing here? You don't appear to be doing terribly much.
No, I literally fell through the cracks.
But hang on, there must have been more like you, John. Were there more people in your circumstances?
Yeah, there is. There's some. There has been some in my similar circumstances. There's others that have been posted to ships, but still didn't receive any technical training. Just basically did the bare minimum that was required on board the ships.
Okay, so did you serve your 4 years ultimately?
I served close to 3 years. I ended up discharging at own request, and I was forced to pay $7,000 to discharge from the Navy.
Whoa, so you were forced to pay them $7,000 to discharge from the Navy?
For the training that they provided me.
For the training they provided you, which was approximately zero?
Zero, absolutely.
Okay, and what qualification, what certificate did you walk out of the Navy with?
See, this is where it's quite lucky on my respect. I had a certificate 3 before I joined up the Navy, and I was looking to do my dual trade. So I'm lucky in that respect that I had that to fall back on. But I walked away from the Navy with absolutely nothing. And there's a guy with a similar situation who served 5 years, did 2 tours of duty, did his whole time, and he has walked away with absolutely nothing, and now he's moved back home and can't get the job.
That's incredible. John, the other thing as well, because the Navy is considered as a registered training organisation, because they are therefore deemed a suitable organisation to provide training to candidates such as yourself, is that the reason why they claimed when you left after 3 years and didn't complete the 4 that you should pay the $7,000 back to them?
Essentially, yeah. Essentially, that's the understanding that I got. They obviously, I didn't reach the 4 year period, and the understanding that I was led to believe is that they would have squeezed in the required training within the year and a little bit that I had left.
The thing that worries me about this, John, if this is basically typical of what takes place in the Navy, you know, I mean, we like to support the armed forces as much as we possibly can, but it actually raises serious questions about organisational structure and also about the human resources management of the resources that they have already got. Because if they're wasting resources, as in your situation, or not providing the training that they are promising to try and keep recruits in the services for longer, then you've got to ask questions about the way the whole thing's being managed from the top down.
Ross, you've said it and you've hit the nail on the head. That's it. That's exactly the whole issue. It's it almost became too big for them to handle, so they kept just pushing the side and kicking the can down the road. And the issue is, that's fine for guys like me who've got something to fall back on. The issue is, you've got 17 and 18-year-olds that are joining up straight from school, trying to get trade qualifications and better themselves, like they're told to do every day, like get out there and do, you know, make
and have a bit of a go, yeah.
Exactly, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to get out there and make themselves something, and this is what happens. They get shoehorned into a contract that they can't get out of under threat of military law, and then don't get any training and have got no recourse of action.
Tell you what, John, very interesting call, this one. Former trainee from Sydney with the Royal Australian Navy, and you can see the allegations, because this is where this class action all goes to. And John is a living example of somebody who actually went through that process and did not get what he was promised or what he thought he was being promised as he went through in the very first place. And John, we appreciate your time on the program explaining that story.
Not a problem. Thanks for your time, Rob.
Yeah, John Henderson. We'll stay in touch with John, because I think that's not a bad one. Okay, now I've got another one from Canberra. I'm going to withhold this name. Although I've got the name, I've even got a phone number. We might even go and ring that phone number when we're off air. But here's the interesting one. So this person says, I only heard a snippet about the Navy engineering sailors last night on your show, though it's a subject I'm very familiar with. I got out of the Navy very recently after 10 years. If people are upset about 300 sailors sitting in a room playing poker, they would be horrified to know how widespread that is. It's not the sailors' fault either. Poor planning and policy results in a high turnover of personnel for reasons like this. I have a great deal more to say, though we'll have to see how this pans out. I suspect that a lot more will come out before this is over. If I was the Chief of Navy, I'd be very, very nervous. You understand why that might be the case. So I just wonder how this works.